today on Real Radio.
You can be the most moral individual in the community and be completely lost. You can say, and I will probably agree with you, I'm more moral than these Christians. That could be absolutely true. But you're lost.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack wants us to take time to be thankful. Since the first pilgrim Thanksgiving and all those that followed, this was a day to give thanks to God Himself, for He has truly blessed this country, even though now we've almost stopped blessing Him. Since the first Thanksgiving, this was a day to give thanks to God. Today, Pastor Jack continues his Thanksgiving message by encouraging us with this, that as we go to the table, let us be thankful for the bounty God has provided us, for our freedom, our family, and for our nation. Also, insert the gospel as you pray. Show God's goodness with gratefulness and share the good news that He will never forsake us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Hey, don't laugh. You guys are sheep. Listen, when you share tomorrow with people the love of God, that's how sheep produce sheep. Tomorrow, when you talk to people, that's how sheep reproduce sheep. Healthy sheep make sheep. We're Christians. How does that happen? We're sheep of His pasture. We share with other goats, and the goats become sheep. And we're safe in Him. None of the sheep are biting their fingernails. They don't have anything to worry about. Why? Because the Lord is their shepherd. They suffer no lack. God has made that promise to us. And the verse ends by it saying that we are the sheep of His hand. That's a strong hand. We are the sheep of His hand. The word implies that we are the sheep of His work. He makes sure that the sheep are okay. Remember when the Bible says in Psalm 23, He anoints my head with oil? It's a beautiful saying, obviously. It's beautiful, and it's true, and that's what's done. But imagine holding a sheep head, and you're looking, the sheep is facing you, and you take this medicinal oils, and it would have the smell of herbs in those oils, you know? And the shepherd would go up to the sheep's head, and he would see that the sheep's head needed care because sheep can get caught in thickets. He takes the oil as he anoints our head with oil. Because our heads, because we wander away, we get, as the sheep do, they get their head all scratched up and thorns get stuck in it, and they'll get bloody foreheads and they'll get all messed up and it hurts them. And the shepherd, and David talks about this in the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd pulls out the thorns, gets the ticks out of the head, because the head's always the one that's going in places, and he takes that oil and he begins to rub with his thumbs deep into the wool, down saturating the forehead to bring healing to all of the scrapes and the pains and the sorrows of life that lamb has encountered. Maybe you're here tonight. You can be thankful because maybe this time last year you weren't walking with Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian, but you weren't walking with Him. And just maybe in this last year, since last year, He's got your attention. Now, I don't know about you personally, but listen, part of our pastoral staff is counseling. We do this year in, year out, and that's who we really meet with. Do you know that? I mean, it's kind of like doctors. Doctors don't see healthy people. Doctors see sick people. And ministry meets with people who need ministering with the oil on the head. And God has brought some people through. And you know what He uses sometimes to get the sheep back into the pasture that have wandered off? He uses His rod and His staff. The staff pulls the lamb out of trouble. And the rod is what afflicts pain into the sheep's life. He said, I thought he loved the sheep. Oh, he loves the sheep. That's why he would discipline the sheep. It's a real popular false doctrine going around today that God only wants for you and God is only for things that make you feel good. Listen, the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, he knows how to smack a wayward lamb. He does it in absolute love, and he won't smack a goat, by the way. He'll only smack a lamb of his. Why? Because he wants it to live. He'll go so far even as to break a lamb's leg, to hobble that or cripple that little lamb so it can't run away anymore, or it's always reminded by its pain in its leg that me wandering away from that shepherd got me messed up. He doesn't kill you. He instructs you. We are the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. People, sheep. Sheep, people. It's who we are. And so what did he do? Because sheep need constant human intervention, the eternal God became flesh. God, who is spirit, became flesh to save us because we were lost sheep, having no shepherd. And he saved us. With all that is happening in the world, as we speak, just in the last 3 months of us being together in services, look how the world has been trending, friends. Look how it's going. Every week, every month, this is the toothpaste out of the tube. It's not going back. It's not going to reverse. So what do? You do not worry about a thing because he is your shepherd. He will not abandon his flock. He will never forsake us. What we must do is we must get more biblically educated because we have all been polluted in our foreheads by the poison of this world. It's come up into us. And we adhere to things that make us feel good, but they're not true. And the hour is coming, if it's not, it's already here, where the Lord is beginning to separate the sheep from the goats, as it were, as the world scene begins to unfold even more. His sheep will group together, maybe fearful, maybe scared, the wolf or wolves are coming, and all of a sudden his hand comes in. Isn't that great? His hand just, wait a minute, right there. These are my sheep. These are the people for whom I died on the cross, for whom I love. And I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that as we have in these last 2 weeks celebrated our 25th church anniversary, and I shared in the services, I do believe, I don't remember, there's multiple services, so I forget what I said when. But do you guys remember if I did tell it to you in the particular Sunday morning that I was the one that was desiring to not even mention the 25th anniversary? Let's keep going. Let's push through, and it's okay. It's, you know, all right, whatever. Let's go. And the staff said, "No, you're being a knucklehead about that." And as I said before, I'm so glad I lost that argument. And the first Sunday, it was like, this is going to be weird talking about this stuff. But you know what's amazing, you guys, is the more I talked about what God has done, the more excited I got. And then I met with you or saw you places or in the foyer or wherever, and you began to say to me, and I got letters this week in the last 2 weeks of what it meant to you and what was spoken to you from the story that God was speaking to you about. I thought, well, that's amazing. But then last Sunday, which I knew was the last Sunday we would talk about it, I didn't want to stop. And I'm looking at the clock, and it's like, and you guys, you don't know this, but I never got through the points. I never got through the notes. And I went in the back, and it dawned on me. They still don't know hardly anything about what happened. And it forced me to remember things I'd completely forgotten. And it was just bubbling up within me. God, this, and Lord, that, and you did this, and you did the other thing, and oh my goodness, we didn't say this, and we could have said this, we did that. Time. And then you know what I was thankful for? This little spark of revelation in my head. Now, this could have been Jack, it could have been God, it could have been lunch speaking to me, I don't know, but I think it's true, so that would make it God. That's why you're going to need eternity. Because I was so blown away with how much I was reminded by talking to people who've been here forever, looking at pictures and photos, that one story led to another, which led to another, which led to another, that all of you should know about, but there's no time. But that's what heaven's for. So when somebody says, yeah, I came to the house, or I came to Edison, or I came to Eucalyptus, technically it's Appian Way. Did you ever notice that? The address is Eucalyptus because the fire chief told us, you can't name it Appian Way because no firemen know where that, I mean, it'd be a new road. We asked them, can we name the road up front? Yeah, you can name it. But the fire trucks, they'll never know where to go. You got to keep it on Eucalyptus. It's like, oh, that's a bummer. Because Appian Way is a biblical thing. It's like, oh man, all right. So maybe God touched you through this location or the other locations. I don't know, radio or whatever, I don't know. But the stories continue because one person gets touched by God and then they go home and they tell their wife or their kids or their parents or their whoever's, are you with me? And that's what's happening. And so I just think that as it just continues, you think about the last 2,000 years, billions of people over the course of human time in 2,000 years who knew Jesus, we're going to be talking about this stuff in heaven. And no one's going to be going, oh, wow. You know, can you, Daniel, Abraham, can you kind of like wrap it up? There's not many time there. No time exists in eternity. That's why it's called eternity. There's no time. So how long is eternity? Not long. And not short. It's eternal. And we're going to be in heaven saying, hey, this is how I heard about Jesus. This is what happened. And stories are going to be told. And that's why we're going to need forever. And I was very pleasantly convicted and shocked, saddened and glad that I had forgotten more than I had remembered over the last 25 years. I had no idea. And it's precious. I am so grateful tonight for the keeping power of our God. Our God who is able to keep us. I've never been more thankful because now I see it more fragile for my freedom than ever before in my existence. I have never been more thankful for my health as I get older. I've never been more thankful for this state and this nation. I've never been more thankful for my family. Why? Because it seems like on every corner, every direction, friends, and I think it's true for you, it seems as though there were things that were normal that have become abnormal. They were relationships. They were people you knew who you thought would never break up. They'd never even crossed your mind. And it's like the wind has blown them away. Homes have become fragile and have fallen apart, or things have changed. And in the midst of all of this, we sang it tonight, it is well. It can only be true if you're anchored to Christ. That your ship is tied to the rock. That your life is in the pasture of the great shepherd. He'll take care of you. He's going to take care of you. See, Jack, yeah, but all the Christians are dying right now in the Middle East. True. Well, he didn't help them. How do you know? Well, they're dead. And where are they now? Well, I prayed. Okay, what'd you pray? That God would bless them. He did bless them. I'm reminded of another bumper sticker. Everybody wants to go to heaven, it says, but nobody wants to die. Isn't that a great line? Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. If it was limited to this world, that's pretty pathetic. Honestly, let's be honest. If Jesus says, I have come to give life more abundantly, and it's only for this world, well, then, you know what? Give me some more drugs. Who cares? Ah, but Jesus said, the life that I give, though a man die, yet shall he live. As a believer, you never really see death. Because Jesus said it's not possible. You stop breathing here, you start breathing there. You close your eyes here, you open your eyes there. Notice that we'll end with this. Every promise in the Bible is in the present tense. I love that. He never says, you know, someday I'll promise you. I'll save you. Who needs that? His word is to your heart. Tonight, listen, are you saved? How do you know? What's the answer? Because you're a good person? You're lost. Because you gave money to the church? Lost. You saved because, what, you were born in America? Lost. What are some of the arguments you hear? I'm saved because I've got religion? Lost. I'm saved because, if your because is any other thing than this, you're lost. And that is, you're saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you trust him to save you. If your answer is anything different, I beg of you tonight, in the house of your friends tonight, that you make the right decision. Because you can be the most moral individual in the community and be completely lost. You can say, and I will probably agree with you, I'm more moral than these Christians. That could be absolutely true. But you're lost. I guarantee you. You want to compare yourself to people? Nicodemus would put all of us to shame. And Jesus said, you're lost, Nick. You need to get saved. You need to get born from above. I know I may be speaking to the choir tonight. Almost literally, I get that part. But what if tonight there's one person here or one person listening right now, and they've got all of the happy star faces on their charts, but they're empty inside. They're hurting still. They feel like they're doing this thing alone. You need to be saved tonight, rescued by the shepherd. You need to see yourself, listen, I mean this with all love and with all respect for you. You need to understand that the Bible says you are a condemned sinner and that your thoughts and your deeds are wicked, it says to God. Did you know that? Well, I smell good. I've got new clothes on. God says, without Jesus, his blood upon us, we are wicked, rebellious people running from God. That's why we do our own thing. There's none that doeth good, the Bible says, no, not one. See, what are you smiling for, Pastor? Because I know how it ends. By illustration, we end. You can close your Bible, I promise. I met with someone this week, and I thought it was excellent, where this person said, I just have a hard time with you guys, with you Christians, because you don't keep the Ten Commandments. And I said, okay, I agree with you. And he said, he had this puzzled look on his face. And I said, we don't keep the Ten Commandments. And I agree with you that we don't. I said, before we go any further in this conversation, do you know anyone who keeps the Ten Commandments? Because obviously it's important to you. So do you know anyone who keeps the Ten Commandments? And he's paused for a moment. He was a real thinker. He's thinking. And I said, well, for example, do you have any friends who know the Ten Commandments, believe in the Ten Commandments, but are cheating on their wives or their husbands? Oh, yes, he said. I said, well, the Bible says, the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery. So that means they don't believe in the Ten Commandments either. When I say believe in the Ten Commandments, I mean they can't save us. You can't get saved by the Ten Commandments because before the moment you read the Ten Commandments, what's the thing? You read it, you shall have no other God before me. I don't even have to read the second one. I've already failed the first one. Are you with me? It can't save you. It just does this. Look, it's like this. It just goes like this. This is what the Ten Commandments does. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. That's what it's for. Did you know that? You say, well, that's not very loving. It's perfectly loving. God sent the Ten Commandments to show us how holy God is and how unholy we are. Boom, 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 boom. So the Bible says that by the Ten Commandments, all men know that they're sinners before a holy God. You see, well, give me some good news. Here's the good news. Jesus said, I have come to keep the law, to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus said that. Jesus said that he would go to the cross and die for us. And I hope that tomorrow, your Thanksgiving day is filled with appreciation for this awesome God we have. And it's no time at all to take him lightly anymore. Our world is in a spiritual war. It's demonic powers against the powers of heaven. And you're in the middle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, thanking you for listening today and hoping that this special Thanksgiving message inspires you to put your faith in Christ, be anchored in him, and to trust him to save you. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Before we let you go, we'd like to let you know about our Relevant Church DVD set. It comes from the lessons where Pastor Jack spoke about our biblical worldview and the church, and it really helps us to understand how we can be relevant in our modern era. With all the distractions we have these days, it's easy to feel alone or disconnected. Well, if you're a Christian, the Bible says that there is a place in the body of Christ designed just for you. If the church is going to be relevant in the 21st century, you and I really have to know how we fit in as Christians. Don't miss out on the Relevant Church DVD set, available now for a gift of any amount at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.